speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
I want to know more about our Lord. I want to know more about the blessings that we can have in and through Jesus Christ in many ways. And we didn't plan it this way, but the song that we just sang fits right into our lesson. What does it mean to believe? And believing, we've got to know more and more about our God. And the more and more that we know about our God, the greater that our belief will be. Whenever we think with regard to the lesson tonight, what does it mean to believe? I believe that it is important for me to point out that this lesson is indeed a necessary study on a number of different levels. Why? Well, to begin with, faith is the primary principle in our relationship with our God. The Bible has a lot to say in the Old Testament about people who believed and those who did not believe. God identifies as that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. That's the unbeliever. But God also identifies in a number of ways through a number of people throughout the Old Testament Scripture about great faith, men such as Abraham, men such as Noah, and many others that we could take time and explore tonight. But when we come into the New Testament Scripture, God identifies is that if you and I want to have a relationship with our God in the here and now, while we live here in this world, and if you and I also aspire to be eternally in heaven with our God someday, we must have faith. It is the primary principle in regard to our relationship with our God. You say, Kevin, how do you know that? In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Hebrews writer, by way of inspiration, says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without belief in God, it's impossible to please Him. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The Apostle Paul also identifies in regard to the principles of faith and how that it deals with our relationship with God in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and saying, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? By faith through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith. How? By faith in this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Faith is indeed a prerequisite in order for us to be able to have and to maintain a relationship with our God. And the Bible identifies to us is that it's not about miracles. It's not about signs, but rather, you and I are taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, indeed. Faith is most important if you and I want to have a relationship with our God. And God spends time throughout the New Testament Scripture explicitly as well as indirectly identifying the principles of faith, explaining what faith really and truly is, and then also God spells out for us in a very clear fashion what saving faith is all about. Last week on Sunday night we looked at God's saving grace. And tonight we're in part looking at God's saving faith. And how do we acquire this saving faith? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As we read and study from God's inspired message, it speaks in regard to our God. It also identifies the plan of salvation that God has for mankind. And having revealed all of these things in and through Jesus Christ, we are to believe in God. We are to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. And we are to submit ourselves in obedience to Christ in baptism, wherein that we receive the forgiveness of our sins. Friends, with as much as God has to say in and through the Scripture, but more specifically, as it deals with the first century church and the church today in the New Testament Scripture, no one should be confused about what saving faith is really and truly all about. But yet at the same time, as I stand in your presence tonight, delivering a lesson from God's inspired Word, I stand before you to say something that I trust that all that is within the sound of my voice here at East End, and maybe even those who are listening to us on radio or watching us on television, maybe many of you also still then can understand, is that most of the religious world is confused about faith. They believe that man is saved by faith only. And yet at the same time, friends, God wants us to understand is that it is not by faith only. James chapter 2 and verse 24 declares that. Man is not justified by faith only. And it's the only time wherein that faith and only appear together in the Bible is James chapter 2. And God in a very direct manner, clear fashion says that we are not justified by faith only. Those people who fail to have a deeper knowledge of what God's saving faith is all about, I believe that they align with those of Israel in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, where God very directly says there, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Well, what is this saving faith? Well, what does the Bible have to say with regard to faith that will be pleasing and acceptable to our God? We don't have all night, so I'm not going to go to every passage in the Scripture. But I want to key in on 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. As the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, a young evangelist, he is declaring to him in this second epistle some essential things in regard to saving faith. To begin with, as we think with regard to Paul's message to Timothy, I believe that God is showing us that to believe means that we know something with certainty. Faith is not a hunch. It's not a wild-eyed guess, but rather it is established in facts. Whenever we think with regard to a belief in God, God has not left Himself without witness in the fact that He did good. But friends, not only do we know that there is a God in heaven because He has done good and He continues to do good, God has given us a wealth of evidence about Himself. Not only does He explain Himself in Scripture, but God shows Himself in the creation. And therefore, as you and I, in our pursuit to know God and to serve God and to be with Him eternally in heaven, as we look out into our world, as we look out into this universe of which we are part of, we see the finger of God. God has revealed Himself in a very clear fashion. As well then, as we factor into what we know to be true from scientific standpoints, we draw conclusions that certainly point out is that there is a God in heaven who is responsible for all things. And then, having explored all of the external evidence that we have with reference to God, we also then have the witnesses who walked with Jesus Christ during the time in which He lived here upon the face of the earth. And these witnesses give us first-handed testimony time and time again in and throughout the Scripture. And the Apostle Paul, friends, is one of those who saw Jesus as He was on the road to Damascus, and he knew for sure that God is real and that Jesus Christ is His beloved Son. And therefore, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, we should not be surprised to find that Paul says, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded, and that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him unto that day." Paul, in uttering these words, he says, "I know." And whenever he says, "I know," from the original language, it's a derivative of gnosko. Literally, he's saying is that I know for certainly. No one's going to be able to argue this point away. No one's going to be able to rob me of what it is that I understand with reference to God. And you and I, as Christians today, should also be established to that end, to the point that we know something with a certainty with reference to the existence of our God. But friends, also, I believe that Paul points out here that to believe means that we have confidence in our faith. With regard to this, we must have confidence in what we know. It's not just about knowing. People know a lot, but at the same time, they're not really and truly convicted of that. They're not really and truly persuaded in what it is that they have a knowledge of. And whenever it comes to our relationship with our God, what is it that God wants us to know with confidence? I believe that He wants us to know in regard to His eternal existence, that God has always existed and that God will always exist. Paul understood those things about God, but then also is that He is deity. He's much greater than anyone, and in fact, He's responsible for our existence. He is God. He is sovereign in His existence, and He is the one who extends salvation, and that He has a plan for mankind to know and to abide by in order for us to receive forgiveness of sin and to be able to look beyond this life in service to God, being able to spend eternity in heaven with Him someday. But friends, also, as we think with regard to belief, meaning that we have confidence in our faith, we need to have confidence in and take great assurance in knowing that whenever God promises us that He's going to save us in the end through the blood of Jesus Christ, as long as we're doing everything that we can to live righteous before Him, to apply His standards to our lives, is that those promises will come about. He will keep that promise and deliver us in that day to give us a home in heaven with Him. And what a blessing that is. Paul says, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded. And then note also, I believe that Paul is pointing out that to believe means that we are committed by our faith. Paul says, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able, know what he says, to keep what I have committed to Him unto that day. You see, Paul realized is that while salvation is extended by God, and that God extends His grace to him and to all of humanity in and through Jesus Christ, is that there were things that God expected of him. And therefore, Paul committed his life, his all to Him, continually, even to the point to where this man drew his last breath. Commitment requires action, and that makes it difficult. You see, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 says that our faith must work through love. In James chapter 2 and verse 24, a faith that does not have works is dead. And therefore, we must have a faith that is engaged in working, in doing exactly what God expects us to do. And I want to remind us in regard to an individual, I believe, that illustrates this, at least at one segment in his life, and that is Peter in Matthew chapter 14, verses 23 through verse 31, where that Jesus has called Peter out of the boat. And whenever Peter steps out of the boat and onto the water, what did he do? He stood up. He's walking on the water. And having this great faith is how he's able to accomplish that. But at the same time, we then read that Peter began to do what? He began to sink. Was that Jesus' fault? Absolutely not. Was that the other apostles' fault? No. That was Peter's fault. Why did Peter begin to sink? It's because he lost sight. It's because this man did not have commitment at this point in his life with regard to his faith, his belief in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's at that time that this man began to sink. You and I must have a faith that does not waver, a faith that does not disappear from time to time and allow us to sink, but rather we must have a faith that will allow us to stand faithful in the sight of our God. These first three elements that are given here in regard to what does it mean to believe, it means that we know something with a certainty. It means that we have confidence in and through our faith. It means that we are committed to God. Years ago, I heard an illustration, and I'm going to read it, that I believe illustrates these three elements of faith. It had to do with a man who had been pushed by the heat and flames of a very top building that was burning. He was sure to perish. He knew that there was no way that he was going to be able to save himself. And then out of nowhere, he heard the sirens from a distance. It was at this point he knew something. Help was on the way. That started to give him hope, no doubt. Help was on the way. But he had questions still. Would they arrive on time? Would they also have a plan in place to save him whenever they arrived on the scene. Through the smoke, he heard someone yell out through a loudspeaker. The person told him that the net was being prepared and that all he had to do was jump unto safety. Friends, at this time, this man was not saved. At this point, he needed to be persuaded of something. What did he need to be persuaded of? He needed to be persuaded that net was going to catch him. He needed to have persuasion and confidence that he was going to be able to be saved by these individuals who have taken time to prepare a net for him to jump into. And yet at the same time, at this stage, he was not saved. Why? Because he also needed to commit to jumping to the net so that he could be saved. Only when we put these three elements together, biblically speaking, knowledge, confidence, and commitment, do we have saving faith. The Bible makes that very clear as to what this saving faith is in the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. In order for one to become a Christian, the Bible says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned. You see, we must know something with certainty. We must have confidence in our faith, and we must be committed in faith to do what God commands us to do. This is all from the context of Paul's words in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, but also I believe that Paul identifies through his words to Timothy, the young evangelist, to believe means that we now, as Christians, tell others about our faith. Note what he says in verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul is sharing his faith, his belief in God with this young evangelist. And as a result of that, we know that at some point, Timothy became a Christian long before this epistle is penned. But Timothy is considered Paul's son in the faith. And in that, I contend, is that suggests anyway, is that Paul had a very large work to do in helping this man become a Christian. And in writing to him, he's no doubt reminding him, showing him the faith that he has, this is that Paul has, but then in like figure knowing that Timothy, as a young evangelist, will proclaim the same message of what does it mean to believe unto the world that he will touch in his evangelistic efforts. Friends, you and I, if we really and truly believe, we will do what we possibly can in our belief in God to tell others of His saving grace, conjoined with our obedient faith in Jesus Christ. It may be that we have people here tonight who are outside of the body of Christ, in that God has a plan in place to save man. And with this, we want to extend the Lord's invitation. His invitation is open 24 hours, 7 days a week. So if you get out of here tonight and you say, you know, I've really thought a lot about the lesson, or I've been thinking about my situation with God and I want to be baptized, call us up. Get with us. We'll meet you back here at the building. We won't hesitate to do that. But at the same time, while we are assembled together here at this very present time, if you are interested in becoming a Christian, you want to study more, we'll study with you. If you know for certain at this point that you want to commit to God by becoming a Christian, to have your sins washed away, we will help and assist you to that end as well. It may be that we have erring members who need to be restored. If you do, we will pray with you and for you tonight before it is eternally too late. Please come.